It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Catherine has been fired for being racially insensitive and homophobic. Catherine Boyle will not be part of the show anymore. Please welcome my new co-host, Paul Denang. Good evening, Paul.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm fine, Paul. Now, I may not be doing this show for much longer, and I'll tell you why.
What?
I'm embarking on a musical career, and I would like to play you a song that I wrote yesterday during the show.
Wow.
Improvise it. And I'm doing all the parts.
You're so talented.
Thank you. Another reason we sacked Cass. She wouldn't say that. So we're just going to turn the microphones off so we can hear it in the studio. This is my song from last night.
Oh, baby, I want to love you so much. Oh, baby, I want to hold you. Oh, baby, will you marry me tonight? Oh, baby, let's make love.
There you go. Oh, baby, nice and straightforward. It goes around again. That's it. I wrote that myself, improvised it. I'm doing all the parts, four track, myself.
I'm in shock.
I've thrown this at you. Thrown this at you. You weren't expecting this.
I'm usually never stuck for words.
Yeah. Let it sink in.
I mean, the production.
Isn't it?
Could be.
Isn't it? Isn't it though?
It's. You know, it needs a little bit of work.
Okay. Constructive criticism, I can take. But what you just said was rude.
What was the reason for it?
Sorry?
The reason.
Here's the thing, Paul.
We don't need a reason.
Well, unlike you, actors, who get told where to stand and what to say and how to feel, I'm a true artist.
You are.
I'm free.
Yeah.
So I just make it when the muse grabs me by the cojones and says, make something. It's like, okay, fine, I'll make something now.
I mean, I felt it. I felt the ad-libbing. I felt the kind of riffing.
Yeah.
I could see you at Ronnie Scott's. To be honest.
Wow, thank you.
Maybe
very much
for one night only.
I'll tell you why I did it. Because you know, you get those show offs that will go on stage and they have like a box. And so then they go, and then they hit the button on the box and then it loops it.
Yeah.
And they just loop over the top.
The Sheerans of the world.
Yeah, show offs like that guy. I just wanted to show that I could do it.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself, Paul Denang?
I would describe myself as quite happy, go lucky, people's person. But, you know, there's been times where I haven't been so happy, go lucky.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you anything tonight?
Anything.
And the same goes,
listen,
to me.
This is a
free for all. You can ask me anything, right? And we know more.
Yes. We're having it large.
I consider you a friend.
You are, mate.
But I don't know you very well.
No.
But yet also I know the small bits in front of millions. Well, this is it. The small bits I know.
I
know some really intimate stuff about you.
Yeah. I don't want it to be doom and gloom. We don't have to go like too.
No.
But you know, you can ask me anything, Ian.
Catherine's back. That sacking didn't last very long.
I like Catherine.
She's all right, isn't she? So Catherine is...
What have you been saying about me?
Nothing.
Uh-huh. There's something about her that's really nice.
They used to do the shape of a bum with your hand. Something about her's really nice. Why would you do that? Catherine produces the show and she co-hosts the show.
She's amazing.
She's the boss,
she is.
Basically.
Yeah.
But I was, right, so, okay, and the same goes for me. You can ask me anything, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Catherine knows where all my bodies are buried.
Because we've been waiting to do this for a while now.
For ages.
You know, and that's the good thing about us is, like, we keep our word, but even if it's a year later, it doesn't matter.
I was trying to work out where we first met.
Yeah, I mean...
Was it on Celebrity Soup? You never came on to Rise with me, did you? Breakfast show I did.
I probably did.
Neither of us would remember that period. That was a little bit frosty.
But, I mean,
in the
I
head.
Remember when they turned it to Rise, actually. Yeah. And I like, maybe not, Ian. You
I don't
know.
Think you came on Rise, but maybe you came on Celebrity Soup, I think, a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was a show I did on E that no one saw.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You and John McCrurick were the kind of standard guests that we had.
I know. He was hard to.
I liked him.
I mean, he's
him.
All right.
But he's dead now.
Yeah.
But I liked him. I liked him. I liked him a lot, but I understand why people didn't like him. I always got on very, very well with John, actually, but I can understand people would find him...
How much of it was an act?
Well, that's it. I mean,
I don't
you know
if it was. He was...
I don't know if it was. I think he just didn't really care.
I think
You know, that's just him. And his wife stood by him, didn't she?
Booby, the booby.
Yeah, oh, that's
it. Lives at the booby. But I always got on really, really well with him. Last time I saw him was at a Big Brother thing and he looked awful. And I went and said, you're right.
Well, do you remember Liquid News?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. They promised that show to me, but then they gave it to Richard Bacon. Yeah,
no, before Richard. Remember that it was the
Christopher.
Yeah, Christopher. Yeah,
passed away. Didn't
so he was a good friend of mine.
Was he really? I loved him. He was such a nice bloke,
and he literally had me on nearly every night. It was amazing because they.
What was his last
name?
The
money was decent. And
it was like 500 quid or something, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was something. And this is like 15, maybe 20 years ago.
And I'd be like, honestly, but Paul, you're about again. I'm like, you know what? Like, you know, literally most nights I'd be on it with Vernon Kay or that guy from Heat magazine.
Boyd Hilton.
No, not Boyd. The other one.
Contempting your voice, not Boyd.
No, the other one. Mark. Oh, God. He
really I hosted it a few times with Claudia Winkleman.
But anyway, and he just loved the fact that I had no idea what they were on about when they got a bit intellectual.
Yeah.
And not that I'm a thicko or anything like that, but I just kind of wasn't quite... They just found me funny without me even realising I was funny. And they just kind of took the piss a bit. But it...
No, you can say piss.
Really?
But pee. Was there... Because there isn't...
But it was brilliant.
I think when we got you on...
But I don't think it was that.
What?
That we met.
I remember when we got you on Celebrity Soup, it was a little bit to take the piss. And I feel a little bit... A lot of my career, 11 o'clock show and stuff, was taking the mickey out of people. Mm. And I've had to kind of come to terms with... A lot of what I've done in the past was mean TV. Mm. And I did actually want to ask you what it felt like. There was a period... When, like you say, with celebrity...
There was a prank show that maybe you were part of, actually, that I did. That I don't know if I got... When a woman in the street, and I had to kind of... And there was a guy with a guitar, and then someone smashed it up, and some girl was an actor, but someone smeared a load of shit on her...
You can't say that.
Can't say that.
No.
A load of poo on her back. I'm really sorry, listeners.
It's ain't the Dan Woodson show. We've got standards.
No, you have. And but maybe you were... Were you part of prank shows?
No. The 11 o'clock show had a pranky element, but it wasn't... That sounds a bit like Balls of Steel or something.
It was similar to that, but it wasn't quite that. But we just knew each other from. But it was Celebrity Soup, definitely.
Yeah.
But anyway, then we were on Sam Delaney's show, news thing, for quite a few times.
Russia like, Today.
Yeah. Love it.
How did you feel about taking the ruble from Putin? Did you feel guilty about that?
A little bit.
Yeah, I did a little bit.
But I had much pleasure in beating up Blobby. Mr. Blobby.
Oh, I was there when you beat up Mr. Blobby. They got Blobby, actual Blobby came in.
I mean, I wasn't having any of it.
But you... I jumped on his back. You hurt him.
Literally.
Well, here's the thing. He jumps on Blobby's back and the poor bloke in there, who's been doing it for years, obviously can't see anything. He went down.
And
I think
carried on. It
hurt him. He actually beat up Blobby and the bloke that played Blobby.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
It was a real person.
Of course, it's a real person under there.
Blobby.
It's one of the worst.
You think he was Blobby all the way through?
Of course. Listen, I believe things like that.
What are you doing? What are you doing now?
I'm doing a lot of stuff actually. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
I just played. I just played. It's funny actually. It's quite ironic. I just played a narcotics detective for the NCA.
Is this the thing you were doing the other day?
Yeah.
I phoned him up. I WhatsApped him, FaceTimed him, whatever. And he's
that was it.
And he's there. He's got like a police lanyard. And he's a police lanyard. I thought he'd been nicked.
No, I was a proper detective with Gary Webster from Mindar.
Oh yeah,
and Kim Tilly from The Bill, and they're quite used to doing like those police kind of roles. And for me, it's like it was a first. Usually, I'm fighting them,
yeah,
or being arrested by them, you know, either as a character
or in real life.
And so it was really interesting, and it's a new crime drama called Moreland's Firm.
Who's this for?
For hopefully for Netflix. Right. They're really interested in it. But it's a pilot, you know, and but they got some good actors in it, and it's for Northeast Films, which is like, you know, based up in Tyneside, Newcastle.
Yeah.
So, you know, doing stuff for up north.
I want to see you acting
quite
more.
Quite good. Yeah.
Away from all of that.
Yeah, it is. My film Are We Dead Yet, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
Which we shot last year and it's come out this year, is doing really good, so I'm really happy. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm doing a play in February at the Tristan Bates Theatre in Covent Garden called Time. But you know, as an actor, it's spitty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm putting on events at the moment for a place called Jakarta's, some really big events. A massive drum and bass event with Jumping Jack Frost. And
We're a big fan of Frosties. We're calling Frosties because we know him so well.
Brian G and a very, very special headline act that I can't...
Paul Digweed?
Can't say no.
Is it Paul Digweed?
No, it's drum and bass.
Is it Sasha?
It's drum and bass. But,
you did say drum and bass. Yeah, sorry. I was thinking more happy hardcore.
And doing like comedy nights with Dapper Laughs and stuff like that. And just I'm really interested in my live music stuff. Raph Law's band called Out of Stellar Overdrive.
Literally speaking another language to me
you
now.
You know, things like that. But my Instagram account is...
Now, this is what I want to get onto in a minute. Would you like to... By the way, you can phone up me. You can chat to me and Paul and
Kath.
If
you want to talk about that.
0344 499 1000. If you just want to phone up and do the normal stuff... put your headphones on, and I'm going to introduce you to a very, very good friend of the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Alan, you're through to Paul Dunan.
Evan Martin and Kathleen, Paul.
Hello.
You're through to your meeting the force that is the Caddick.
Hi, Caddick.
Cabbage.
Cabbage. Caddick.
You're on the show, Paul. I've got a killer question for you.
Killer question. Here we go.
What was your favourite moment when you did Hollyoaks?
Your favourite moment did Hollyoaks?
Probably driving a car into the stop. You know, the shop that sells a bit of everything, Shop and Stop or whatever it was called.
Shop and Not Stop in that case.
Not Stop. Near the dog in the pond, wasn't it?
I didn't drive into the dog in the pond. I drove with my mum, who was dying of cancer.
into the pond.
Because I was joyriding at the time. Oh. And I said, you're not my mother and something or other. And it was a proper, proper crash. I mean, it was amazing.
Wow.
That was fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Real stuntman stuff.
Were you a fan of... Have you ever seen Hollyoaks, Cads?
Yeah, I did.
Dude, now, what is your era? For me, the classic era, were you in it with... What was the guy... What was his name? Bottle Rocket. The thick guy. There was a thick guy.
Jumbo.
Sorry?
Jumbo.
Not Jumbo.
I
think it may have been slightly after your time. What was he called? He was...
One called Bottle Rocket.
No. Not Tinhead, that was Brookside.
Yep.
But it was like Tinhead. Do you know who I mean, Alan?
Yeah, I know who I mean as well.
I'm trying to picture his name.
Try and picture his face and then try and remember his
name.
There
was two of them. What, you mean Darren and they were... And Matt Littler.
Not those two. Because they've gone off...
Yeah.
Bombed.
Oh, Lee Otway. I was on Celebrity Love Island with him.
But Bombed was
yeah, he
really?
Was after me though. But okay. I after me in Hollyoaks. Yep. But we met each other properly on Celebrity Love Island, and he did lose his stuff on Love Island because the American girl.
What do you mean he lost his stuff?
He just lost his mind because this American girl wouldn't. just didn't want him.
Right.
And
she was in love.
She was more into Dennis Rodman.
God. And here's Alan, thank you very much for that. And here's the thing, right? People don't realise that Love Island now, it was around, when was Celebrity Love Island?
2005, 2006.
There you go. So 15 years ago. It was around, but it was different then, wasn't it? Oh yeah, but it was Celebrity Love Island.
Celebrity,
and it was Callum Best who was in everything.
Everything.
Callum Best owned ITV2 between the years of 2003 and
2000. This was ITV1.
Was it? Yeah. It was. Of course, yeah, it was.
It was big pants, big boys.
Big old. Who hosted
big boys
it?
Stuff.
Then?
So we had to start with. It was Patrick Kilty and Kelly Brook. My ex.
Yes, of course. What really? Did you go out? You went out, Patrick Kilty. Jokes. You went out, Kelly Brook.
Yeah, and the
hot
and
potatoes.
The thing is, she was with, you know, it's a Wyckoff, Titanic guy,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, come on, the baddie in Titanic.
It's literally just three old people, two of whom have caned it too much.
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane. Yeah. It's a Wyckoff. You know, in Zoolander, that's his best line.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, when it's a walk-off.
Yeah.
And which means, you know, like, anyway. So basically...
Don't focus too much on Billy Zane. Let it go.
But Billy had some good advice, even though he knew that, you know...
Yeah.
We were stooping back in the day.
Yes. But my gosh, you really did care for her.
It's romantic, isn't it?
Stooping, they say. Any of this, gosh,
it's a very good Yiddish word.
So, what did the Zanester say to
him? He was giving me some great advice. He was like, really, you know, like, listen, what you need to do with your money and what you need to do with this fame now, because you know, it was a big series for me.
Yeah,
that
huge.
You know, I was coming off a lot of drugs and the world was seeing it, and for some reason, they were loving it.
Yeah,
they were, which. In a way, you know, if I get on a kind of more sad level of it, it's quite exploitation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the way they fed me the alcohol and, you know, and they knew that I wasn't very well, but I was also loving it.
Yeah.
Because it was like a lad's holiday. I, in my own little mind, forgot there were cameras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're behind these black cloths and behind these palm trees. Just shuffling.
And this is before...
Sneezing now and again. And
we were aware, of, Big Brother had been around, but we still weren't quite...
No.
The reality TV wasn't quite the thing that it
is
now.
It just started. That's why I had no idea what reality was.
So what, you were getting... You were trying to get... What, you'd given up drugs, and we will talk about drugs because it's integral to both of us, I think, but you were giving up drugs in 2005 and you went straight onto the Love Island, or...?
I didn't really have a choice. You weren't really allowed to take drugs on the island.
Outrageous. So what, you had a big use up and then flew over there or something?
Pretty much. I mean, I got there and bought a big black sack of Fijian weed, very twiggy and stemmy and...
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let me bring that black sack with me onto the actual show.
Responsible.
So,
yeah.
So when I got on there, the only thing I had was alcohol given to me. I wasn't really into booze, but, you know...
If that's all you've got,
that's
you're going to neck
it. It kind of took, you know, away any pain or feelings that I... So I kind of... You know, look, at the end of the day, it was my fault. It's my part to play in that. You know, I have to own that completely. But the fact was, you know, all I had was the women...
Yeah.
Which was the reason of being there, I suppose, for the show. And then the booze. And then, you know, when you take the booze too far, you become this happy drunk into this paranoid kind of aggressive drunk. And that's where, you know, I suppose it was a bit exploiting in a way. It was like, well, let's feed him more because this is great TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And Big Brother is on the other side and we need to really beat their ratings.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Yeah, it was quite handy for them to let you unravel, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you know, and I was coming off a lot of stuff and they kind of hid that away and just let me detox without...
On
giving
screen.
Me anything, yeah. And
wow,
it was just
mate.
It was just my way. And I didn't even know what was going on with my body or my brain. I didn't know I was detox. I'd never... done that. I'd never been to rehab. I'd never done detox. So for me, I was like, what's going on with me? But so the only way to kind of mask that was to have a drink in the evenings.
Yeah.
But I wanted all the drink, you know, and you know, I didn't realise the way I was acting. It was quite bad. But what was good about that Love Island is the fact that there were no producers or directors on set telling you who to get with, what to do, how to be, what conversations to have, which is now... how it is, very contrived.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not dissing their Love Island right now.
Because, it's a different show.
But it's
same
a completely
name, different, show.
Different kettle of fish. We were just left on this island, 500 crew on another island. editing, making it happen, and bigger than the jungle, you know, or as big as the setup, Granada TV, you know, huge. They spent millions, you know, and you know, and you're just left with Abby Titmus. You know,
now, I've met Rebecca Abby Titmus, who I think Abby Titmus is I think is beautiful. She's a really, really nice,
really nice girl.
Person, very quiet.
Little Nurse Betty.
Yeah, very. I met her. She did some stuff at LBC years ago when I was there. And she's such a nice.
Yeah.
But both those women you met and you named got chewed up and spat out, didn't
they? Oh, I think Abby.
But Abby's killing it now in General Hospital in LA.
Yeah, she's doing it great.
She's in Joey's.
But she got
from Friends show.
She got used terribly. I felt I thought the way that she was treated just because she made a date with a couple of mates.
John Leslie stuff, wasn't it?
Kim Kardashian is Kim Kardashian because she made a flipping sex tape.
I think it's the difference of a few years.
Yeah,
I think it's the difference of a few years. It is now more acceptable, that kind of thing.
I made my own show on that show because we were bored in the day and stuff, called Lilo Banter.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was presented...
that I'd watch.
Yeah, and it was presented by Lionel Banter.
Yeah.
So I was this character called Lionel Banter. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
And I'd wear this really silly outfit with this Hawaiian shirt and I'd get on a Lilo in the water. And it was my way of really interviewing the other celebrities. But because... You know, it was like, well, forget anyone's watching. We're just having a laugh. They ain't going to use this footage. Tell me everything. Mm. What happened with John Leslie? Mm. What happened with David Beckham, Rebecca Lewis?
Mm.
What happened, you know? And I'd be like, hello, it's Lionel Banter. You know, okay, so today I'd like to know, was David really big? You know, and all that. And she'd answer.
Yeah.
Because she'd just think, oh, it's just Paulie having a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And ITV2 had a live little spin-off show that would just... throwing it out there every day, and it became huge. This Lilo Banter, you know. I still need to do this show, you know. Yeah. Imagine interviewing guests on a Lilo.
Stay there, I need to take a break.
Do it,
thank you. this is the late night alternative. Ian, Kath, we've got Paul Denang. Daniel, stay there. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Contact Talk Radio. Call 0344 499 1000. Text Talk and your message to 87222. Texts cost 25 pence plus your standard network rate. Or you can tweet us at Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Set free your mind. Let your fancy take flight. Conversation gets curiouser by the glow of moonlight.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Have you heard of... we were just during the break. Paul said, I was in a film you did about a signing in a shop. And I'm going, I don't think that you were in that in the end. No. But that was done by... that was my mate Scott Balcony. Have you seen the girly swat... When you finish texting, Paul, no rush, mate.
I'm promoting your show.
Okay.
Sorry. Hi. I mean, it was what you sent me. I think you cut me out, or you just didn't want me in the end. But you teased me to get me in it, and then.
But you weren't in it.
I don't think you had the budget.
No, there was no budget. No. Let me phone up Scott. Who's Scott? Have you seen the girly SWAT t-shirts?
Girly SWAT t-shirt
and the Lady Hail Spider shirts. No, you haven't. Okay.
That's bad that I don't know that.
From now on, say you haven't, they're brilliant.
Can you send me one?
Right, just leave a message. Right, for Scott. Say Paul Dunan, and this is Scott.
Please leave your message after the tone. To re-record your message, key hash at any time.
Oh, hi, Scott. It's Paul Dunan here. You know those T-shirts you do with the spiders and stuff like that? I was wondering if you might be able to send me some. I've just been really thinking about them a lot. I don't know why they've come up in my dreams. And, you know, I'm trying to think of a new fashion brand and I just thought maybe we could talk. Also, do you remember that show that you made with a guy called Ian Lee? It was about, like, some signing thing. I'm, like, working on my resentments at the moment. And I just wondered, like, why you didn't hire me, because you teased me that you were going to get me in it and then you didn't. So, anyway, maybe I think I deserve at least a T-shirt for that. All right? But no grudges held. All right. Cheers, mate. Bye.
There we go. Let's put him in his place. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, you're through to Dangerous Dunan. Not heard that for
hello,
a while.
Hello. I got fooled by you when you said that Kate was gone.
Say that again,
sorry,
Daniel.
Mate.
I was fooled by you.
Yeah.
You said that Kate was gone.
Oh, that I was gone, that I got fired.
I did say Catherine was gone for racial insensitivity.
Oh, right. This is the first wave of the campaign to reinstate me.
Well, it turns out it has to go to a tribunal, Daniel. I can't just give... I don't actually have the authority to give her the sack, despite being her boss.
You're not my boss.
Who earns the most?
Well, it doesn't make you my boss.
Daniel,
Today I got a free haircut.
Oh, free haircut. So did I, mate. That's weird.
Yeah, I was searching like homeless haircut and things like cheapest hairdresser.
Where was the hairdressers?
And then I found one in Liverpool Street.
Liverpool Street.
It's called the London School of Barbering.
Right, excellent. Did you cut it yourself?
I went there. Very nice people. Lots of people wanting to have a free haircut.
Amazing. So you were like a model?
No, they are training, so they have a supervisor, and then they shag everything.
Check.
It's just for
shave,
me.
Shag, then check. That's how I make love.
Can you just tell me what it looks like now?
Rubbish.
It looks well done. Like the thing is, when I was in the street, like many people smoking outside, and
terrible.
There was a postman trying to find number one on that street. And then I thought, well, this is why my vision of the international postcode system using meter cubes.
But how's your hair, mate?
Hang on. You've just glossed over something that could be amazing. Hair? You have a brand new system for international postcodes, Daniel.
Yes.
How does that work?
It uses meter cubes. So each meter cube is a different postcode.
A metal cube is a different postcode.
No, meter.
Meter.
A meter cube. Oh, a meter cube on the map.
Each meter cube is a different postcode.
Okay. Oh, hang on.
Well, that's just an address.
But hang on, that means you'll have, in your house, you'll have about 25 postcodes?
Listen to you, Lady
that's
Muck.
Right. And when you sign a tenancy, you would list all the cubes that you have in your house.
So what makes you want to do that as a job?
I designed some algorithms to calculate the cube. Right. If you have the GPS coordinates, you can calculate the cube.
Excellent, okay. Mate.
But anyway, Daniel, how's your hair?
So it was clipper number one on the sides and on the back.
Same here.
And then kind of freestyle, a bit messy with this.
So you've got the same haircut as Paul Dunan.
Yeah. See, I had mine done today.
It looks lovely.
Thank you, R.W. Wolf Barbers in Knightsbridge.
Free?
Yeah, free.
How come?
Well, I did some posts for them.
You did some posts?
Yeah. What? On Instagram.
Oh, he's working the Insta.
You've got to show me how to work
in
that.
In Portugal. I'm from Portugal, and they did one thing called the Cow Parade.
The Cow Parade?
So
parade of cows?
The cow parade. And that cow parade. In London, we did the elephant parade.
But what's that got to do with hair, mate?
Instead of cows or elephants, we could have cubes.
Okay.
All right, we're back.
Thanks, mate.
Daniel, do you want to ask Paul Dunan anything?
He is from Love Island, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I love Paris Hilton. I like the Kim Kardashian thing and the Paris Hilton. Once I went to the Hilton Hotel in Holland, in
Finsbury Park.
In Holland.
When you entered the Hilton, did you go in the front or did you go in round the back?
There was a piano.
Gosh, very spacious. Thank you so much for that. It's a real insight into. I would.
Good luck with barbering.
I would love to hear you doing a late night show.
This is unbelievable.
Let's do some. We're going to do the Instagram in a minute. Let's do some good news.
Let's do some good stuff.
You're clean.
Yeah.
From drugs.
I am clean from drugs and
drink. Am I allowed to ask
and
how long?
Everything. Last week, I picked up my 6 months. So, it's been really, it's been a real journey, man. I mean, I had to go away again in January. February, actually. No, what am I talking about? I went away to Thailand in about, beginning of April.
The important thing is he went.
I'm just thinking when it was, but that, it doesn't make sense. So yeah, beginning of April I went away, and I haven't touched anything since. But I did have a long detox, and I picked up my 6 months last week, and it feels good. I did a chair today, which is, if you don't know, it's where you tell your story to people in a meeting, and you know, I'm passing the message on that it is possible. You know,
so I can speak freely now because you've now outed yourself as going to meetings, and I talk about how I go to meetings and stuff, and we have bumped into each other in meetings from time to time. Is this the longest?
Yeah.
You've been clean?
Yeah.
Oh, mate,
of everything.
I'm so pleased.
Yeah, because, you know, I've had a time where, you know, I was still, like, you know, dabbling with some painkillers or dabbling with a joint or dabbling with maybe, you know, a beer here and there. But this is absolutely everything. Gambling, I haven't gambled in over a year.
Wow, mate.
I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. I don't take anything mind-altering at all. So it's massive. It's a really big deal for me, and I'm proud of it, and I'm proud to admit it.
Yeah.
That it's taken me 15 years in and out of treatment centres, in and out of NACA, AA, which is, you know, the Fellowship of Recovery of, you know, where we go to get well. And this time I'm doing it properly. I'm working the 12 steps, if anyone understands what that is. You know, I'm an advocate for Nutritious Minds, where I'm their trust ambassador.
Nutritious Minds?
Nutritious Minds is a charity that's basically about it covers a lot of ADHD stuff. So I was diagnosed ADHD earlier on in the year.
Right, okay, I didn't realise.
It makes sense, to be honest.
Does it? Did
I've
it kind
slowed
of line
down
up
a
few
lot.
Dots
yeah,
went,
because
oh,
I was
okay.
so much, because I think I had so much going on in my head all the time that when I got stress from like not being able to concentrate on one thing, then that stress led me to kind of being, you know, wanting to numb that pain, that stress. When I'm stressed, I'm like, hate it. So, I need a beer, or I need a joint, or I need a line, or I need something just to take away this bloody stress. And to be honest, it was because I suffered with this ADHD all my life, which I didn't really know. But you can only be diagnosed with it once you're actually completely, like, 3 months completely clean and sober. And now, over 6 months, I'm, you know, so much more aware of that, and I have certain things that I do to manage it. And a lot to meditation's a lot to do with that, and a lot of mindfulness stuff. And
the difference in you is incredible, right? Because I've been going to meetings for 16 years, and I saw you, you know, back in the day, 10 odd years ago, I'd see you, and it was always a delight to see you. But I'd read stories that you were seeing news, all these horrible stories that some people seem to take great pleasure in.
Yeah,
and I'd always just look at it and go, oh man, come on, mate.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to do this. And so seeing you now, and we bumped into each other a couple of times recently, and it's lovely. Seeing you now, the difference is phenomenal. I love your little WhatsApp messages every day. Get a little uplifting WhatsApp message.
Yeah, someone, my best mate, Johnny, who I do my podcast with, he said to me, he goes to me, Paul, man, like someone said to me the other day, like, is your mate like trying to be a bit like Russell Brand at the moment? Or not trying to be, but like, is he becoming a bit like that way?
Yeah.
And he was like, you got to stop all this self-help stuff. And I'm like, well, but to be honest, why, if it's actually helping me and other people? And he's just like, well, because what's his name? Denzel Washington says, like,
stop texting him.
You don't speak it. You don't need to air it for people to know it that you're doing it, like, type stuff.
No.
But, like, at the end of the day, no, but that's Johnny's way. He's quite strict with me in that. He's like, you don't need to tell everyone, like, you can just, in other words, people will know if they'll know. But, like, my way is just like, you know what, if I can put a little message up that's a bit of a kind of, come on, guys, we can do this, even if you're low. Help someone, you know, you do an esteemable act that gives you self-esteem, you know, even if you're feeling a bit rubbish, go and help someone else and it might really help you in turn, you know, and stuff like that. And I think, you know, the more I pass a message on or the more I kind of go, look, I still struggle every day, I think about, you know, it's, remember, 20 years, 25 years of having something to take me away from me, you know, it's not just going to go away in 6-7 months. But the good thing is today I don't need to act on those thoughts. You know, I can think, oh yeah, it'd be nice to have a beer right now because he's having one, or wow, I could just smell that lovely weed. But at the end of the day, that's going to take me back down to the bottom again.
Can't you smell weed everywhere now?
Everywhere.
Everywhere, man.
Everywhere.
And it's just constantly...
Yeah, you know.
Just...
I would use it, if I smelled it, I would follow that smell and go up to the person and go, all right, man, how you doing? Because I think it's a real hippie thing to share a J.
Yeah.
You know, now I just ignore it. I do, because I've got that time under my belt where I can kind of go, do you know what, it's just... It is what, that's life, man. I can't shy away from life.
I'm smiling because I'm so happy to see this.
It's real truth what I'm saying tonight. Like, there is no BS at all in what I'm saying. Like, it's the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
You know, and.
But this thing is that we have a daily reprieve from this, right? We'll go into the language a bit, but because I had 13 years and I did the jungle and I came back and I picked up, the week after I got back, I picked up a drug I'd never used before and I dived in again, for 3 months.
And it's so good you admit that.
Yeah. Well, the day after, I told Catherine, I phoned up some people in recovery that I hadn't spoken to for ages and said, I've done something terrible. Mm. And thank God it was only 3 months of using again, because some people never come back.
I mean, I don't think I'd come back. I think I'd die if I went and used again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big statement to make on radio, but I do. I think if I used, because of the guilt and the shame and everything, or I would just get straight back in recovery like the day after. But it's not that easy. Who knows? Why would I take that risk?
Yeah. And also the resentment. I mean, I'm like 20 months. When I picked up my 18-month key ring a couple of months ago...
well done, mate.
It was the same day I should have, in my head, been picking up 15 years. Yeah. And there's that real...
But you can't hang on to that.
Exactly.
Because that will just do you nothing.
But it just shows...
Because it's just a day. It's a day at a time.
Yeah.
Even if someone that's listening has got one day or a week, that's amazing. Because I couldn't get an hour.
Yeah. So good to see you healthy. And you're doing it through meetings...
I'm doing it through the 12 steps, through meetings, through reaching out, and through basically, you know, through God.
And we have a lot of people...
I don't want to be too God, but it's not me that's doing this stuff, it's God. It's what I choose to call it, God. You know, I choose to pray and to believe in something bigger than me.
and some people, I got scared by the whole God thing. For me, the God is God with a small g.
Yeah.
So different for everyone.
Yeah.
It's a higher power. For me, it's the universe, power. It's the sun, it's my kittens, it's my boys' laughter. Yeah. It's that.
It's somewhere to hand it over, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's hope. It.
It's hope and trust and a bit of faith as well.
But we have a lot of people listening who have got addiction issues.
Really?
We get a lot of calls, and we've had some great... You know, Alistair, we've been talking about a lot, and if you're listening, Alistair, I hope you don't mind me using your name again, but we've had a lot of people who have, you know, phoned us up sounding hopeless and helpless.
Wow.
Alistair's got his 6-month key ring the other day from Booth. Exactly, man. And so we have a lot of people listening. You know, we go on until 1 o'clock on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So there's a lot of people out there listening who are lost in whatever that
Absolutely.
May be. So hearing a success story like yours, and I didn't even need to hear the war stories because we know what it is.
No.
So, but hearing the success story And me, you know, saying that there is an obvious change in you is going to be inspirational.
Absolutely.
To some and,
but, you know, there's only a success story because I've now put in this 100% work into my recovery, like I put 100% work into using my drink and drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I put in a lot of effort to get that gear. You know what I mean? I had to. And to go to the doctors and manipulate them for this or for that, or to go to this dealer or that dealer, or to raise money or to borrow money or to steal money or whatever.
It's hard work.
Yeah, it was hard work. So why can't I do that for my recovery, to live, to have my little boy happy to see me every day, to have my parents proud of me again, for my friends to trust me, for work to give me work, for my career to blossom again. All that good stuff is only because I'm taking it seriously. I'm not just doing it Paul's way.
Yeah.
I'm doing it, you know, the way where I'm taught by it. I have a sponsor, which is someone that takes me through, that guides me through what he went through his guy. And he's 21 years, you know. So everything, even when it's about girls, do you know what I mean? I'll say to him, look, you know, I've got this situation with it, you know, what should I do? And I listen to him because he knows, you know, he's been there. He's like, of course you're going to be all right about women and shopping and, you know.
Didn't I tell you he was the nicest bloke? Yeah. I love you, Danan.
I love you.
I've got to say, I said this off air, you've got the most amazing eyes. Look at his eyes.
He's always had gorgeous baby blues.
Isn't it?
Look, we've all got blues in this room right now.
Yours are very, very special.
Yeah, but look at him now; they're all lit up, right?
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
a
yeah.
time when it was
sparkle,
it was dim, you know.
Yeah, I think, so, and it's funny because you've seen me, you know, and you have, you know, and I don't see myself, you know, but others see me, you know, and it's funny when you don't realise you're so oblivious to actually what people are seeing, and I'm thinking I'm getting away with it. Yeah, it's fine. No, they don't know. Because my eyes aren't red. Well, they're dead, the thing. It's
like the sparkle
and it's how you come. I come across. There's a difference. Yeah. There is a difference, it's amazing. And I used to feel fearful about talking about where I was at because I didn't want to put pressure on myself or out of myself of the amount of time because I think, oh no, now it's too much pressure on me if I do mess up.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's like I'm not scared of that anymore.
Yeah.
Because I do believe if I carry on doing what I'm doing, what I did today. Hopefully it'll be the same as tomorrow and I'll go to bed still clean.
Wicked. It's a brilliant message. We're going to take a little break. We're going to speak to Pete and then we're going to talk about your Instagram and anything else that you want to sell. We're coming up to the point. You've earned it.
Listen.
This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Kick off your slippers. Don't go to bed. The party is just starting. You can sleep when you're dead. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Sorry, Paul.
Who is this?
This is my name is Ian. This is Catherine. 6 months, he says. I'm not sure I believe him. I'm Ian.
No, who are we speaking to?
It's Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hello, gang. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. He thought your name was B for some reason.
Could
he
it needs be his... B just for tonight?
Hello, B. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm speaking on behalf of Pete, the official apprentice correspondent.
Pete, we have correspondents that give us updates on stuff.
Brilliant.
And Pete is the apprentice correspondent.
With no spoilers.
Oh, hang on a second. Right, so we need to... Hang on a minute, guys. We just need to do this. It's time now for the apprentice correspondent update with...
Pete.
That's...
Pete.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask Paul, first of all, about Kartik.
Oh, okay.
What's Kartik?
No, it's actually Karthik, but it doesn't matter.
Nil to
because he found it. Oh, let's not even go there with this one, actually. But yeah,
oh, dear, really?
What about him? Where is he? Because he was the apprentice, wasn't he? Yeah,
I've no idea what you're talking about.
When I was on the phone waiting, I quickly Googled Paul Dinan apprentice to see if you'd been in the celebrity one. And you hadn't, but you'd met Kartik, who was in a couple of years ago on the civilian one.
Oh. Yes.
That was all. Yeah. I'm not going to
Lovely
your
guy. Really kind soul, actually. I really liked him a lot. I was on Celebrity Big Brother with him.
The Apprentice. Of course you were. Thank you. The Apprentice is another one of those shows. I did an interview today and we got on about how a reality TV show and how it can mess you up and stuff. And I said, you know, the jungle really screwed me up and the aftercare was not great. Mm. I got a phone call from their psych saying, do you want to come in for a meeting? I went, no, I'm all right. Fine. And then I went off and scored some crystal, you know. So it doesn't work. But the people on things like Love Island, The Apprentice, I guess to a certain extent, but not quite the same, but Love Island... I kind of knew what to expect because I've been on telly on and off for 20 years. The kids on Love Island, they don't know. So suddenly they're on one of the biggest shows in the world, and for 4, 5, 6 months afterwards, they're incredibly famous, and it will go to their heads.
It's huge.
You get treated like royalty. You've got a big old check, I'm guessing. You don't keep earning that same amount of money.
Well, and no, I don't think they get money to go on it. I think what happens is they get the money from the endorsements afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they get a little wage for missing work because a lot of them, they, remember, the amount of people they go on, put on this normal Love Island, it's quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, only a certain cast stay the whole duration. Mm. But overall, there's probably a good 30... people, girls and boys together go on it. So some of them really stand out and some of them don't. With us, there was only 10 of us.
Mm.
And, you know, we were used to, as you say, like you were being on the telly and this, that and the other. We'd had careers, or did still have careers, actors, musicians, this, that and the other. But with these guys, they're just picked because they got good abs.
They've got a lot of asses.
Really lovely lips and just excellent hair.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, and then suddenly you're right, you know, but the difference, I mean, 4 years on Hollyoaks for me, I didn't even get a quarter of the amount of fame as I got on 6 weeks or 8 weeks Love Island.
Oh, I bet.
It was mental, the amount of attention you get from a reality show compared to working your... You know, off.
Yeah, yeah.
Balls, can I say balls?
You can say balls.
Balls off.
You can't say
balls.
So don't.
4 years every day on a soap opera as a main character. 6, 8 weeks on an island. It's like, I can't tell you. So poor them who have not been used to this height of fame. And unfortunately for them, it doesn't. Once the following year comes, they're forgotten
it's
about.
It's because they're taught how to play the game. I think some of them do get some guidance. It's about getting those magazine deals, get yourself paired off, know how to play the game. But the thing is, the game starts again the next year without you.
It does. But they can't all be on X Factor and actually, you know, sing half well. Like, you know, like that Love Island group. Lucky them, at least they got to do something.
I couldn't watch Love Island, The Jungle last year, the year after I did it, and I felt jealous. And the new one coming up, I still feel jealous and think, well, I'm missing out.
Yeah.
And the fame.
Did you want the extra camp?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even have me on as a guest.
Honesty.
I would like, I wanted it.
Yeah.
And I even got in touch with them last year and said, can I come on as a guest? They went, well, thanks very much, but no.
Wow.
So I'm not even, but the fame, and I'd never experienced anything like it. I remember I got back and at the airport in Heathrow, you're 10-year-olds asking you for selfies.
Yeah.
And the first time I went out, I took my boys to a pantomime at the Hexagon in Reading.
Mm.
And we got there just as a school party turned up. 190 kids. I know, because I had to have a selfie with each one separately. One kid turned around. I'll be back in the country 2 days and went, oh, my God, it's Ian from the Jungle.
Yeah.
And these kids started screaming and walking towards me en masse. Yeah. And I didn't know what to do.
But
never
this is
seen
it.
Like
they
it.
Knew you just by your first name.
First name.
It wasn't even Ian Lee. It wasn't Paul Dunham. It was Paul or Ian.
Yeah.
It was just, you'd say that name and everyone would know who you meant.
Yeah.
So what my mum was going, they didn't even have to say your surname.
And then 6 months later, it's gone. And I remember suddenly walking out and my son, youngest, saying, do you think people will ask you for selfies today?
Don't.
I said, it just doesn't happen anymore.
Painful.
It just doesn't happen. And however much you want to go, oh, I'm so glad it's back to normal, your ego, you think, well, what have I done? Why don't they love me anymore? It messes up with your head.
It does, but we choose to do it.
Yes. Oh, and it paid very well. I got a nice check.
And look where you are today, man. You've got your own show.
Exactly.
Come on, this is big time.
See, I feel a bit guilty.
I really
about
like Catherine.
Oh, thanks. I do.
You've been with her for 50 minutes, Paul.
She's really nice.
That jungle thing, I feel guilty about it. That I suggested it might be all right for you to do it. I feel bad. I feel bad.
No,
as a BFF, you feel bad.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was bloody torture for me to watch, so I can only imagine how bad it was to be in there.
Oh, it was horrendous.
And then all the fallout afterwards.
It was horrendous. I wouldn't have that house or those five cats if I didn't do it, so it's worth it.
But you came across so fine on it.
Yeah. I was just in there with arseholes.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't in as great a place as I said I was. I'd never lived my life under such scrutiny. I've always been very private.
Sure.
And suddenly I come out and I find that the press have been knocking on my mother-in-law's door. I've never had that.
Oh, they do all that. They
never
do all that. Without you knowing.
Yeah. Yeah, and my agent had to kind of tell some lies to protect my kids. It's like, madness. What? Anyway, Pete, could you hurry up, please, mate? You're really dragging this call out, buddy.
Sorry, mate.
No, it's Pete's doing it.
No, I know.
It's my longest update ever, I'm sorry. But there's a lot of news this week. I mean, someone who is apparently eyeing up being one of the arseholes in the jungle next year is Lottie Lyon.
Oh, because that's how it works. You do The Apprentice and go, yeah, I think I'd like to be in the jungle next year.
I bet she is.
Well, I mean, apparently she's backing a campaign to get her in the jungle. So what that means is someone tweeted, wouldn't it be great if Lottie Lyon went in the jungle next year? And she probably went, yeah.
Listen, mate, people have been backing me to go back in Hollyoaks for 20 years. It's still not happened.
Did you fall out with the Hollyoaks people?
No,
if you don't mind me asking.
I just left. I just wanted to go to America and become a movie star.
Yeah.
Look what happened.
Well, I'm watching people. I'm having a triple bill. Did you? Is that what happened?
Yeah,
you went to the States?
I thought, you know, I don't want to be stereotyped. I've been there 4 years and I just thought, what more can happen to this character?
Do you regret leaving?
You know what? I don't regret leaving, but I do have that, as you say, that little bit of, whether it's resentment or jealousy or envy, that they've never actually asked me to come back and do a little stint.
This is the
thing. Because they've asked everyone else. Yeah. Now, I know I had my problems with addiction and stuff like that, but, you know, at the end of the day, it was a blooming big character. Soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Soul was huge and people would love to see him again, and I just feel like it's a shame they've never asked me.
Yeah. Have you approached them?
I mean, years ago, I think we had conversations, right, and they said, when there's a storyline, it'll be great.
Right.
Of course, we would let him know. I'm actually in Spain after murdering this pimp. So I come back a little bit bronze and possibly go to prison, but...
Pete, thank you very much.
Pete, now, love you.
Your please don't give them ideas. Your Instagram...
Yes. So, I thought we could talk about it a little bit because, you know, at the end of the day, people go, is it you? Is it not you? You know, it's Dananagram.
Great already. It's insane. It's the most insane Instagram feed I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. It is.
It's actually the biggest Instagram account on Instagram, even though, it's followed by such high up A-listers. It's hilarious. If you're in your 30s to 40s to 50s and you knew about China Whites and back in the day and celebrities from back then, the captions are amazing. The writing's phenomenal. It's the detail is just out of this world.
And the pictures, it's
me and a couple of other guys, right, and we write it together and we post it. I do a post once every few weeks or every 3 weeks or so, and it takes real effort, real comedy. It's a parody account, and there's big things happening from it, you know, like, i.e., you know, a big TV show coming up, a huge podcast, etc. And it's just, you know what, I'm in that place where I can take the pee a bit,
yeah,
of myself, and it refers to drugs, it refers, yeah, to drinking, it refers to sex, it refers to naughty stuff, but you know what, it's all parody, it's, yeah, all just kind of like having a laugh,
yeah,
and there's a lot of boy bands in it. You know, and it's our era, Ian. You know, it's back in the day, and it's the old days. And you know what? That's really kind of, you know, people want to remember those days, yeah, and people want to go, do you know what? I remember that, and that's so funny. It's Jordan without any plastic surgery.
Yeah.
You know, it's Peter Andre when, you know, he was
a talented singer,
mysterious girl and stuff. It's the whole Blue Boys. It's Abs from Five killing it. You know, it's Dane Bowers. It's
a lovely shot of Shane Ritchie here. I'm sure you'll appreciate.
Yeah, and you know, Darren Day's our Shane guru in it. Yeah. You know, we love Darren Day. Uncle Mickles is Mick Hucknall. You know, we call him Uncle Mickles.
Tickles. Did you just say Mick Hucknall?
Mick Hucknall.
Okay, right.
Yeah. It's Simply Red.
yeah, I know the fella. Yeah.
So you know, if you want Tickles from Uncle Mickles, you know, and Anthea Gurner.
Jeez.
Anthea Turner.
I get it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I got it.
And, you know, and it just goes on, and it's phenomenal, and I like the reactions. But within a year, we've got nearly 100,000 followers. Wow. We get over 15,000 likes. Yeah. I mean, people just love it.
A picture of Abs from Five.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff. Callum Best loves it. Bless you, old Callum.
He always used to say, you can't get an STD if you don't get tested. Hashtag rotter.
And you said you're doing a podcast as well.
Yeah,
what
so
is that?
Paul Dunan, The Morning After. It's basically, it was number one on the iTunes charts.
I'm going to subscribe now.
It's hilarious if you want to hear about the old days and some really funny stories.
And so what is it? Is it true stories?
True stories, 100% true. And, you you know, my mate Johnny really busts me because he just says what I was like back then and what I'm, you know.
Did he know you back in the day?
Oh, yeah, I've known him since I was three.
You
know, so it's me and my best mate. My brother comes on here and Ben O'Fadu from Fats and Small comes on here and Sam Delaney comes on here and, you know, and I've had, like, loads, I have lots
banned
of...
Banned by the mayor of Preston.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Did you get banned by the mayor of Preston?
For doing panto, yeah, because I swore
at
the Christmas lights.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I
you got to write a book. You don't even need to write a book. You've got all of these stories in this pod.
I mean, that is another thing that's being written at the moment. It's called Too Much, Too Young.
Right.
And I can't wait for it to come out.
We're out of time.
Yeah, but, I love you. You are invited. Thanks for having me on.
Shut up for a second, please. For God's sakes, in a whole hour. Come back anytime you want, man. Honestly. And I know it took us a few weeks to sort this out, and then we had to stop because there was a bloody politics, and we got taken off the air and all of that rubbish. You got an open invitation anytime you want to.
Sorry?
You can talk now.
I was going to say, so that was true.
Did you think that I was just blowing you up?
I just thought maybe you were busy.
No, we're
never busy.
We got
maybe you weren't sure.
Well, this is the show, right? If there's a serious political... Oh, God, you thought I was just politely bumping
that's
you.
That's my insecurity, isn't it? That's my self-esteem.
No, I understand. No, I would feel so. If there's like a heavy news story, me and Kath get taken
off.
You did
video call me, so you were like... It wasn't like you were trying to hide anything.
No, I felt really bad, but we don't find out until about 3 p.m. Yeah. That's why I'm texting you and I'm phoning you and I'm emailing. We got you in, and now you know it's legit.
It was legit. Damn old politics. damn you. Roger.
Please be quiet. We will be back in a bit. 03444991000. Thank you so much, Paul Dunan. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Love you.
We are Talk Radio.